Vice President and High Representative of the Union for Foreign and Security Policy, Federica Mogherini. Un caloroso benvenuto. Grazie. And to your delegation, and I thank you for being with us to have this exchange of views on these very important aspects of and activities of the Commission. I will now introduce formally the members. On my left-hand side, Honorable Francis Zamil Demek, Honorable Anthony Bezzina, Honorable Michael Falzon, Honorable Franco Mercia, and Honorable Frederick Azzopardi. Honorable Mercia and Azzopardi are from Gozo. They represent the island of Gozo. I wish also to inform you that the proceedings of this meeting are being recorded and webcast. Well, your responsibilities are quite wide-ranging and onerous, so much that you lead the project team, Europe in the World, represent the EU at international fora, chair the Commission's Group on External Action to deliver a common approach for EU action on the world stage, report to the Commission's President and to the whole College about geopolitical developments, and coordinate the work of all commissioners in charge of an external relations portfolio. Quite a lot. Unfortunately, presently there is no shortage of issues which require you at your attention both in our neighbourhood and beyond, such as the situation in Syria, Libya, and Ukraine, alongside substantial migration flows and international terrorism, just to mention some. Political stability and security not only contribute to the personal safety of our citizens, but they contribute considerably towards the economic well-being and prosperity of peoples and nations. Regarding the Maltese presidency of the Council that is going to start coming next January, there are 3 areas of priority during the Malta's presidency of the Council of the EU, which are expected, as expected, are migration, maritime affairs, and the Mediterranean region. Here I cannot fail to mention the proposal by our Ministry for Foreign Affairs to host the EU League of Arab States Summit as a flagship initiative on the Southern Neighbourhood Policy Area. As you understand that you already had talks with our executive, and so here I will dwell a bit on the inter-parliamentary meetings which we will host at the parliamentary level during Malta's EU presidency. That is the Inter-Parliamentary Conference on Common Foreign and Security Policy and the Common Security and Defence Policy between the 26th and the 28th of April. For this conference, we will invite you, High Representative Mogherini, to participate as a keynote speaker together with Mr. Johannes Hahn, Commissioner for the European Neighbourhood Policy and Enlargement Negotiations. I sincerely hope that you will accept our invitation. Excuse me. The topics to be discussed are the state of play of the European Neighbourhood Policy, expected to be addressed by Commissioner Johannes Hahn, the European response to the instability and threats in the Southern Mediterranean and the Middle East, and then we will have workshops, which are about migration policy, asking a question like, can flexible solidarity be the solution? EU external relations after Brexit, and the future of civilian CSDP missions. And then the concluding session will be an exchange of views on the priorities and the strategies of the EU in the area of CFSP and CSDP, hopefully to be addressed by you, High Commissioner. Besides, we will have the meeting of the Chairpersons Cossack on the 22nd and 23rd January 2017, and the ordinary Cossack meeting on the 28th and 30th May 2017. We will also have sectoral meetings of the chairpersons and of the social affairs committees on the 23rd and 24th March 2017 to discuss, among other things, poverty and social exclusion, and that of the chairpersons of the economic affairs committees on the 6th and 7th April 2017 to debate climate change issues. Excuse me. For the time being, I will stop here because we are eager to hear from you what the Commission intends to do in the areas of foreign affairs and security, even in the light of President Juncker's State of the Union's address and of the document titled A Global Strategy for the European Union's Foreign and Security Policy. High Representative Mogherini, I kindly invite you to make your presentation, and then the members will have the opportunity to make their observations and questions. The floor is yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. First of all, let me say this is really a pleasure for me to meet I have been a member of parliament myself, both in the Foreign Affairs and the Defense Committee in the Italian Parliament for 6 years, so I miss the parliamentary life a lot, and I take any opportunity I have to go back to any parliament I can. This to say that I attach an enormous value and importance to the parliamentary work. On the foreign policy issues, on the security issues, but also on the common European work we do on foreign and defence and security policies. So for me, this is a very important part of our work, of our European work. Every member state I visit, I always visit the relevant committees in the national parliaments. And I believe that, especially in the presidency, during the presidency, the work we can do together, also together with the European Parliament, with other national parliaments, is going to be very important, because national parliaments are the direct link, as well as the European Parliament is, with our citizens in the most direct democratic expression. And so this is a very important instrument for our foreign policy. And the parliamentary diplomacy is also a very important part of our common work. So for sure I will be at the Interparliamentary Conference in April here. I've participated to all of them before as a member of parliament and then as a high representative. So I'm really looking forward to that. And please count on all my personal support and my team support in any preparation we might work together on. Really, we are one team as we enter the presidency. You mentioned some of the responsibilities I have, indeed quite a significant portfolio. On top of what you mentioned on the Commission side, I chair three formations of the Council, Foreign Ministers, Defence Ministers and Development Ministers. And cover in the European Council with the heads of state and government all issues related to foreign policy agenda, which in these days are the main part of the European Council agenda, from migration to Syria, from the situation in the Mediterranean to other challenges we're facing. And I am particularly focusing also on our common work on security. Being also the head of the European Defence Agency, I believe this is one of the sectors where we can work the most together to face the security challenges that our European citizens are facing today, in part linked to the external situation we are experiencing around us, especially around the Mediterranean, but also the link between the internal and external security threats we are facing. And so one part of the work we are doing is developing a security and defence implementation plan to work especially on the European Union capacity to react to crisis and guarantee security of our citizens through more cooperation, especially in the sector of capability development. But that relates more to the work of the Security and the Defence Committees. The main point on which I believe the Presidency will contribute to our common work of the European Union in foreign and security policy will be, first of all, well, the issues you mentioned very well. First of all, the work on migration, on the external side of our migration policies. The follow-up of the Valletta Summit of last year is obviously going to be our guiding line. We're going to work very much on our part of the implementation of the action plan of the Valletta Summit, but also with our African partners, their part of the implementation. As you know, we are developing migration compacts with 5 priority countries in Africa, going well. I've presented the first implementation report to the heads of state and government a few weeks ago. I'm going to present the second one in December at the European Council. So the 6 months of the presidency will for sure be a window that opens on the southern shore of the Mediterranean and Africa in terms of partnership, investment in our relation with the continent, not only in relation to migration, but also in relation to economic investments, human capital exchanges, including exchanges we can have, especially with the Arab world. You mentioned that when it comes to youth, students, research, education, culture. That is a field where, for sure, Malta can act as a bridge, especially in cultural, in the cultural dimension. The second aspect on which I believe we can work very well together in the 6 months to come is the situation in Libya. For geographical reasons and for, again, understanding of the dynamics in Libya, I believe Malta, during its presidency and your work in the parliament, can help a lot the other Europeans to understand first the priority, which is something that I believe is now well understood, but it's always good to reinforce the message, and also to help the European Union work in facilitating the unity of Libya and assisting or accompanying their efforts in delivering something good for the Libyan people. I believe that the knowledge, the experience, the proximity of Malta to Libya can help a lot our work in that respect. So I would expect that this would be one of the main priorities we will have together. And in general terms, it's going to be the first Mediterranean country holding the presidency after Italy 2 years ago, and the last before some years. So it's really the opportunity, I believe, to focus and also highlight the strategic importance of the European Union relation to the Arab world, Africa, and its full role as a Mediterranean actor, that it's self-evident in this parliament, it's self-evident to someone that has my nationality. I believe it's becoming more and more self-evident to the rest of our European colleagues. I see more and more awareness and attention to our collective work in the Mediterranean, both on the crisis but also on the opportunities we have. And again, here I would finish by stressing the fact that we are indeed very much focused on the crisis around us. They are serious and many. But I believe that we also have a responsibility in focusing on a positive agenda, especially when it comes to economic ties, trade, energy relations, the entire field of possibility we have to use the Mediterranean as a common space for positive exchanges and common responsibilities. So I really believe that in this 6 months of presidency, the Parliament and your committee can play a very important role. It's a good opportunity to work more together, but obviously for me this goes beyond the 6 months of the presidency. So I'm really very much looking forward to work together more closely. And I would be very interested not only in hearing your questions, but also this is a very good opportunity for me to listen to your priorities, to listen to your suggestions or ideas, because, again, this is not only an exchange in one way, but this is also a very good moment for me to take note on what your views are on European Union priorities in foreign and security policy, so that we can really shape a common work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your contribution, and I would like to start by adding to actually what we are saying right now about the priorities. Sometimes when I attend conferences, the COSAC, the CFSP, the SASDP, it depends on which country is hosting the presidency. The last time that Libya was mentioned with intensity was actually when Italy had the presidency. And then when we went to the Baltic states, it was Ukraine, and unfortunately, even during the presidency right now. In fact, we had an issue during the last CFSP meeting, when the Italian counterparts wanted a mention in the conclusions to the relocation plan, and the presidency didn't even want to mention that. And there was like a little bit of friction regarding that issue. And that is what I think it's one of our stumbling blocks, that the European Union, it's not a union in its entirety. It's divided in blocks, the southern bloc, the eastern bloc, the northern bloc. But unfortunately, until we find common grounds and to understand that solidarity, it means solidarity in everything, and not, it's like being in a supermarket and you decide when this solidarity applies or not. We will never be truly united to face problems that are actually now affecting all Europe. We've been telling in our interventions, even people who were before me, that yes, the migration problem is going to affect all Europe. It's not a Maltese problem, it's not an Italian problem or a French problem or a Mediterranean problem, but it's a European problem. And now, after the Syrian conflict, yes, it has become a bigger European problem, and still, I, on a personal level, I don't see that there is unison on the ideas of how to tackle it. And I think that is where we have to work most. Yes, we have to make understand that Libya, it's important, it is an issue, because right now I don't think that the United Nations envoys actually understand what the situation is. So let alone how can we find a solution on a short-term basis. So yes, we have to work as a whole, and if we don't try to solve the problem at source there in Libya, for example, we will never solve the problems of migration flows that are coming from the Libyan coasts. And Italy knows something about that, because thousands are still crossing, and even though they are not making news, because it's like we're taking them for granted, that people think that migration has stopped just because they don't make the news. But in fact, that's still going on, and it's still a human tragedy. And we're still far away to find a solution. We're working hard. In fact, as you said, many other countries are supporting the Mediterranean priorities, like France, like Germany, Austria. In these conferences, we find support, continuous support for because they are understanding that if we can't find peace in the Mediterranean, there cannot be peace in the European Union or Europe itself. So, I ask Francesca Bidemec.
Martin Wolfo, benvenuta, forse. Per parlare almeno all'inizio in italiano, forse anche doveroso, e di sicuro parlo a nome di tutti i membri di questa commissione, indirizzare a lei come cittadina d'Italia un messaggio di solidarietà dopo tutto quello che è successo in Italia. Le notizie veramente sono seguite veramente qui, con rammarico, con tutto quello. Allora, la nostra solidarietà dal cuore. Addressing you as High Representative, I would add, of course, that for us in Malta, to have a high representative from the country of Italy with whom we have such close relations, such friendship, such also cultural proximity, signifies to us that you will always understand our perspective far better than other persons maybe would. And therefore, the emphasis you are placing on Mediterranean issues is certainly very, very welcome. It will not then be surprising even for my colleagues that I add some comments on regard to the migration issue, not least because I am the spokesperson for the opposition on migration. You correctly refer, even as High Representative and as the person responsible for the foreign policy of the European Union, to the external dimension. The external dimension is certainly very, very important, because in a way it represents the tool whereby the European Union as one union negotiates with countries of origin what needs to be done. Countries of origin need to cooperate with us, be it in identification of migrants, but of course, when it comes to the ultimate testing line, with the question of the return policy. And what individual countries can negotiate with countries of origin can nowhere be negotiated as effectively when it then comes to the European level on behalf of all of us. In that respect, you are certainly aware that there is, from time to time, emphasis on the possibility of using the leverage of development aid more. We cannot extend that argument to humanitarian aid, because humanitarian aid, by definition, is humanitarian aid. But development aid, I think it is high time that it is pegged more with these countries acting also responsibly towards us. Now, just as, of course, the return part of the policy is a crucial component, in a way this is the interface of the other side of the migration issue, which would be the internal side. Now, this is a matter we will address more closely with the commissioner responsible, and we will be having a meeting, of course, with him over the coming week. But the two sides need to work together. And in this sense, I cannot not refer to the fact that from a resettlement relocation policy that was targeting and is still targeting resettlement relocation of 160,000 persons from countries we well know, we are now talking only so far of relocation of a few thousands. Now, this is a program which in theory needs to be closed by September of next year. And your own support, your own drive, your own initiative, of course, together with the commissioner responsible for migration matters, I think will be crucial over the coming months and will certainly be one of the focuses of our presidency over the first 6 months of the year. I close, of course, with best wishes for all the achievements you can make for the European Union, which you have made already, always placing the profile of the European Union much higher in the international arena. We know that foreign issues and foreign policy is always relevant, always dynamic, and in a way always assuming new shades of interpretation. I mean, we are only a week away from knowing how the American people will vote for their president, and that is obviously very much a matter for them to determine. But one can certainly augur that it will not affect the special relationship existing between the European Union and the United States of America, irrespective of the result. And to mention one more contemporary issue, which will obviously be very significant again during our presidency, it will be the beginning of the Brexit negotiations for real. We're now told it's a hard Brexit, which presumably pushes United Kingdom from an internal matter more to your eventual remit. But again, it is a challenge for all of us to address together. Thank you once again to be amongst us.
Thank you. I'm going to take more interventions and then I'll give you the time to reply. Honourable Michael Fatson, thank you.
First of all, thank you. It's an honour to have you here. I, obviously all of us, share my colleagues' thoughts about what is happening in Italy. We have had ties for ages with us. First of all, I would like to thank you on behalf of all of us also for your commitment and your team's commitment in the coming presidency. May I make just 2 points very lightly. First of all, yes, as my colleague has said, there needs to be unison in the sense that you can't change when you have a presidency which is tackling one particular area, one particular issue, and then 6 months down the line, even though that issue is still there with us, we start on something else. I mean, there needs to be a bit of continuity, and I think that is something which we should fare for. And just one last point about, you mentioned parliamentary diplomacy. Maybe, I don't expect you to say much, too much, but maybe something which is, we are still, so to say, even locally, going down that way. Our speaker tends to speak a lot about it. Well, he's the speaker, so he needs to speak. But he doesn't speak that much. But it's an issue which might, yes, lead to development. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Honorable Franco Meccia.
First of all, thank you for making the effort to actually come and visit us. Mota, your visit is actually reinforcing the importance of our strategic position in the Mediterranean, which is definitely being recognized even more now with your visit here. I just want to reinforce what has already been said, that one of our priorities is obviously the situation in Libya and the consequential migration of this human tragedy that we are facing every day. I would, as a Maltese politician, I would really want to see more being done by the higher institutions on this challenge that we have at the moment to actually solve the issue for good. I know it's difficult, it's a tall order, but I really want to see more being done. And that's all I wanted to say. Thank you again, and hope to see you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. I don't think there are any more interventions, so the floor is once more yours. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, first of all, I fully share the comments that some of you made about the need to have a strong internal solidarity across the Union. What I see from my portfolio perspective is, first of all, a continuity in the work on external action. The Lisbon of Treaty, the Treaty of Lisbon, give us a special institution and a special role that goes beyond the change of presidency, and exactly to give this sense of continuity to our external action. But also, it's not only an institutional setup. I think what I see is also a political unity around our foreign policy and security policy decisions that I see on a daily basis. I know there is often a narrative of division around the European Union. What I am seeing in my everyday life and work, and the two coincide, so, is that on the foreign policy issues, we are much more united than what we are on internal issues. When it comes to, it's true, different member states can have different order of priorities. And if you go in one region rather than another, obviously you get a different order of, you know. That is normal, and that is even healthy, because it helps us keeping a global look at what our role can be. It's actually a matter of having a rich toolbox of interpreting the world around us. But I can assure you that today, no matter how north you go, Libya would enter into the first five priorities of everybody. Finally. It took us a bit of time and work, hard work, but I can say that I notice, and I travel around the member states a lot to hear, especially on parliaments, but also the foreign policy community, the students, the think tanks, to hear the sense of our common European priorities, because this is my role also, to represent and to give action to a common set of European priorities of our citizens, of our parliaments around Europe. So I always ask five priorities on a national perspective or even on a local perspective on foreign policy. And I can guarantee you that the order changes, but the five priorities are more or less the same. And this on the external. And this gives us a solid basis for our working together. And I think the best example of that is, for instance, Operation Sophia, where 2 years ago we only had one member state or two member states at sea. Now we have a European Union operation, 25 member states, and a united effort in the Mediterranean Sea. So I think we are united on that, or the work on the migration compacts. That is something we're doing together with all our member states. Indeed, on the internal part, especially on the migration policies, resettlement, relocation, we have a bit more of work to do. It's not my direct responsibility, but especially on the Migration Compact, for instance, I'm leading the project team inside the Commission, also with involving the work of Commissioner Avramopoulos, but also other commissioners. But again, the internal side of our cohesion and solidarity, I believe, will need a lot of leadership from the Maltese presidency to have a push, let's say so, and find a common ground. On the exact questions on the EU external role in negotiating agreements with third countries of origin and transit, this is what we are doing, first of all, with the compacts, with the five priority countries. but also with other countries. We just concluded an agreement with Afghanistan a few weeks ago. So beyond Africa and beyond the migration compacts, work is ongoing also with other countries. There are two elements here. One, returns is one part of the work we have to do. The other part is tackling, very important, is tackling the two aspects that are the deep elements that we need to solve. One is the economic root causes of migratory flows. This means enormous investments, especially in Africa. And this is why we launched, as you might know, the external investment plan, 40 billion euros of to accompany private investments in African countries to implement the sustainable development goals and to create jobs, especially for the young people of Africa. Otherwise, the demographic trend is going to be simply not manageable in the midterm. But also, second chapter that is very important, dismantling the criminal organizations that are working on. Yes, that is fundamental, and that we need to do in partnership with the authorities of the countries, also offering alternatives to the economy of the smuggling. We know that well. And this is why, more than reflecting on the conditionality of development aid, I believe what works is the targeting of development aid towards perspectives for the local communities in investments and job creation opportunities for the young people of the countries and poverty eradication. Conditionality of aid, my personal impression is that this wouldn't work too much. And then we have legal bases that are very solid in terms of linking the aid to poverty eradication and not conditional to returns. On returns, indeed, the European Union has a role to play, and we are doing that, negotiating agreements between the European Union and the countries of origin to have identification missions and then returns. There is a specific responsibility of member states to operationalize returns once the agreements are there. So we can do our part to a certain extent, create the framework, create the agreements, provide the space. We are even facilitating and financing identification missions from countries of origin to member states that are facing problems of identification that are preliminary to returns. But then, the returns have to be arranged by the member states with the support, again, of the European Union. But here, again, I would leave it to Avramopoulos and his portfolio. I stop at the limit of my competences that are again creating the framework. I would just mention on Libya, I fully share. We are really doing a lot. This is a joint responsibility we have with the member states. We really need to work in team here, and those that know the situation in the country better can help really a lot, and Malta is obviously a very helpful asset we have. Only two short references. One, U.S. elections. Indeed. First of all, transatlantic relations are deep in our DNA. There is not one single file, one single crisis, one single dossier from climate change to the Iranian deal where we don't work hand in hand with the Americans. Even though the transatlantic relations are not only relations with the United States, relations with Canada, but also with Latin America, I believe are part of this transatlantic bond we need to invest in. But I can only hope that this transatlantic strong relation we have also with the United States is going to stay. I can share with you it has never been as strong as now. And again, I can only hope that this continues. On our side, we will continue to engage with any administration will be there. And Brexit, it's not a foreign policy issue until it's a third country. For the moment, I'm chairing a council that has 28 member states. and all the implications on future relations will have to be negotiated once we enter there. So it's not for our current work on foreign policy. For the moment, we're working at 28, and we continue to do so as long as the UK is a member state. And again, after that, it will indeed fall under my responsibility or my successor responsibility, being a third country with whom I'm sure we will manage to find ways to cooperate on foreign and security policy in the most productive and cooperative manner. But for the moment, we're still 28. Thank you.
Excellency, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for meeting us, and thank you for sharing your views, and trying to hear and understand our views. I thank you for confirming your presence for the CFSP. But now you're on record that you confirmed. So thank you very much. Please allow us, we have something, a small token of appreciation.
Yes. The latest in England.